For those of you who are staying with me, would you please turn in a Bible, whether it's the one you brought with you or the one in front of you in the pew, to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to be looking at one verse today because we looked last week at the passage as a whole, and I promised you that this week we would deal more with one particular verse, and that is verse 33. So let's hear what God has to say in his word from Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Jesus is speaking and he says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for being so good to us. Thank you that we can rely on what you say to us. And where your word would encourage us today, encourage us well by the Spirit. Where your word would challenge us today, challenge us well by the Spirit. But in all things, point us to Jesus, our prophet, our priest, our king, our savior, our Lord. And it is in his name we pray this. Amen. If you know me halfway well, you may know that I have a love-hate relationship with psychology. And what I mean by that is there are times when I really enjoy and like probing into psychology and the study of what the brain and why we do what we do and that sort of thing. But on the other hand, there are times when I'm really frustrated by what psychologists say. Today, I want to start this message off with something that at least I know some of you have heard before somewhere in your education about a man named Abraham Maslow. Abraham Maslow. Yeah, everybody? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I see some heads nodding. Some of you know what I'm talking about. If you don't know that name, if you don't remember that, he had this pyramid of a hierarchy of needs with your most basic needs at the bottom and your higher needs at the top. And supposedly, as you get these needs at the bottom met, needs like air, water, food, sleep, things like that, you're able to move up the pyramid to the greater needs. Needs of self-actualization is at the top. So, as I think about that, Maslow was not a fan of Christianity, from what I can understand. But I do think that there is some truth to this pyramid, this hierarchy of needs, in the sense that if you are hungry, if you are thirsty, if you are freezing, it is probably hard for you to try to seek out self-actualization, to try to hear the good news of the gospel, to try to do anything that are those higher needs that we might talk about, because you're hungry. And you're so focused on food, you're so focused on drink, you're focused on warmth, those sorts of things. And that sort of plays into what Jesus is saying here, that God knows our most basic needs. He knows all of our needs, and he knows what we need. And because God our Father will provide for our needs, we are freed and enabled to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. That's what this passage is about. Because God our Father will provide for our needs, we are freed and enabled to seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. If you look back with me in verse 25 and following, Jesus says, don't be anxious in verse 25 about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, not about your body, what clothes you will have. because life is more than food, and it's more than clothing. And then he goes to talk about the birds of the air, and he talks about the flowers of the field, and how God does something with them, and that's an illustration for how he will take care of us who are of much more value than birds and flowers. And it's almost as if God is saying, I've got your basic needs met. And that frees you up to seek what is higher, what is better. You don't have to worry about where your next meal is going to come from if you trust me. You don't have to worry about me meeting your needs. I will meet your needs. Believe that. And because I will meet your needs, God tells us that we are to seek first his kingdom, seek first his righteousness, and all of these things, our food, our shelter, our basic needs, in one fashion or one form, God will provide. Now, before we go on to the next part of this section, we did deal with this last week some, but I want to just challenge us once again and encourage us once again. Do we really believe that? Do we really believe that God will meet our needs? And I'm sure that there are some skeptics who would say, but what about? And they'll point to an illustration of someone who maybe did not have their needs met in one fashion, form, or another. And you say, see, that proves that it's all wrong. And yet, we can also go to evidence of how people over and over and over and over again have had their needs met as followers of Christ, as they're trusting in God. Not their wants, but their needs. And we've even seen some people who, yes, their needs were not met because they voluntarily sacrificed those needs for something even greater. Now, what causes a person to look at their basic needs of food and water and shelter and say, even though I know God will provide for those needs, I will willingly give them up for something greater? The only thing that can really do that is the good news of the Lord Jesus. And that's what we're going to talk about today as we look at seeking first the kingdom, seeking first his righteousness. The second thing I want to say before we go into what that looks like is I want to say that I am not an expert on this. By any stretch of the imagination. There are lots of experts out there who will tell you, this is how you're supposed to do this, or this is how you're supposed to do that. All I have, honestly, is the Scriptures and what the Scriptures point me to in Christ by the Holy Spirit. I'm not an expert. I'm growing in this myself. And so I am, as some people say, a beggar who knows where the bread truck is. That's what I'm doing today. I know where to get bread, and I'm telling you, here, come with me. Come along with me, and let's see what God says, what Jesus says about seeking first the kingdom. So, Jesus says, because we are freed from those basic needs, because God promises, I'm going to look out after you. If we really believe that, then we are freed and enabled to seek for his kingdom and his righteousness. What does that look like? Well, first and foremost, we honor, love, and serve Jesus as King. You want to seek first the kingdom and his righteousness? you see that that means that you honor, you love, you serve Jesus as King, because Jesus is not simply a teacher. Yes, he taught great things. He taught things that 2,000 years later, people are still talking about, like we're doing today. But he's not just a teacher. He's not just an example to follow. There are many people who try to pattern their lives after Jesus. They see him say that you're to love your neighbor as yourself, to do good to those who hate. And some people actually try to take that and do those things. But he's more than just an example. In our church, we would say that he's our Savior, that he saved us from our sins. He saved us from our fallen nature. He saves us from this present evil age. And yet, I would say that even though that is so true, he's not just a Savior. He's not simply a Savior. He is also the King. He's the Lord, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And this King has delivered us from the domain, the kingdom of darkness. And he has transferred us into the kingdom, his kingdom. The good news of the gospel, and I want you to hear this, we love, we honor, we serve Jesus because he has honored, loved, and served us. Can you believe it? A king, not just any king, the king over all the universe, this king honors us by sharing his inheritance with us, by sharing his righteousness with us, by sharing his goodness with us, by sharing the Holy Spirit with us. He honors us. And I want you to think about that. If you really know yourself well, you know that none of us are worthy of that honor. We're really not. None of us are really worthy of that kind of honor. I mean, the scriptures actually say that one day all who trust in him, all who believe in him, they will reign with him forever. Jesus is king, and he says, I want you to sit with me on the throne and rule and reign with me. That is an honor beyond my comprehension. And yet, the scriptures are clear. God honors us. Jesus honors us with this salvation because he loves us. We love because he first loved us. And in this kingdom, this kingdom characterized by so many things, but characterized by love. The king himself, while he was a resident of heaven itself, willingly left to put on flesh, to be like me and you, and to live this life of perfect obedience that none of us could ever do. And he died as a substitute for me and for you and for people all over the world, and then rose again from the dead so that he could rule and reign over us and with us. And that's how he showed his love for us, because he didn't do this when we were good people, when we were worthy. He did it while we were sinners, while we were rebellious. And in the gospel, in the good news of Jesus, Jesus even serves us. He serves us by saying, yes, you are a sinner and I am sinless. Yes, you are weak and I am strong. Yes, there are so many differences between us, but I am willing to strip off my robe and wash you with my powerful life and blood, so that you would be cleansed of your sins and you would be right with your Father in heaven. Isn't that good news? Isn't that the kind of thing that says, that frees me up? It frees me up to serve and love and honor this King. There's a story that's been told that comes from the Civil War days, before slaves were free. It was about a northerner. This northerner went to a slave auction, and he purchased a young slave girl. And as they walked away from the auction, the man turned to the girl, and he looked straight at her, and he said, "You are now free." She didn't know what to say. And at first she said, "You mean I'm free to do whatever I want?" And he said, "Yes. I'm free to say whatever I want to say." And the man said, "Yes. I'm free to be whatever I want to be? Yes. And even go wherever I want to go? Yes. You're free to go wherever you'd like. You're free to do whatever you want to do. You're free to say whatever you want to say. You're free to be whatever you want to be." And she looked at him and said, "Then I want to be with you. I want to go with you. I want to be with the man who set me free." Is that true for us? The Lord Jesus has saved us from our slavery into sin. He has paid the price. He has purchased us with his blood. And now he says, "You're free." And do we say, "With my freedom, I want to follow you. I want to serve you." That's first and foremost what it means to seek first the kingdom. You can't have the kingdom without the King. Second, what it means, what it looks like to serve, to seek the kingdom and to seek the righteousness of God, we renounce the self-centered pursuit of any kingdom or standard of righteousness of our own making. And that is a mouthful, so let me say that again. We renounce the self-centered pursuit of any kingdom or standard of righteousness of our own making. I really do believe that it's true that every one of us is seeking a kingdom. Whether we're seeking the kingdom of the Lord Jesus is a different story, but I think all of us are seeking a kingdom. And I think many of us, what we are doing is we are bent in a selfish and a self-centered and a self-focused way to ask, "What's in it for me? What's in it for me?" And our culture, our society, it feeds that. Every commercial you see is trying to entice you to think even more like that. And even in the church, we give in to those kinds of thinking, of saying, "What's in it for me?" As I was thinking about this, I couldn't help but think about, this president was president before I was even born, but John F. Kennedy's famous speech, where he said, You ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Now, I don't know whether you're a fan of John F. Kennedy or not. Doesn't matter. His point was, your country is here. Are you going to invest in it? And what Jesus is saying is not just, the kingdom is here. Are you going to invest? He's saying the kingdom is yours. Everything I have is yours, because you belong to me. And if that's the case, then are you going to invest in the kingdom? And he calls us to do that, calls us to invest in the kingdom. We want a kingdom of our own where people like bow down to our desires. And if you don't believe that, just let one person in your family do something that you don't want them to do. Just let one person in the church say, we're going to do it this way, and you want to do it that way. We all want to build our own kingdoms. Kingdoms that are, they're set up our way. They're set up with our rules. They're set up with our agenda. But the truth is that Jesus is the king, not me. Not you. As Abraham Kuyper once said, there is not a square inch in the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, mine. It's his by divine right. And that includes us. We are his. And that is especially true for those of us who have been bought with the price of Christ's life poured out on a cross. And so we renounce the self-centered lifestyle of living only for ourselves, and we say, Jesus, what is it you want me to do? What does my life look like in your kingdom? I'm not trying to squeeze your kingdom into my life. I'm trying to see how my life fits into your kingdom. See how that works? And that goes along with another thing. If we're seeking first the righteousness of God, the standard of righteousness, we have a tendency to want to make a standard of our own. We make our own rules. We make our own way of doing things. And I want to tell you something that proves that we do this even as believers in Christ. This is hard to say, but it needs to be said. So many times, those of us who confess Jesus with our lips, and we say, Jesus is Lord, we still go to the Scriptures, and we take verses that already are in agreement with where we are, and we focus on them, and then the verses that don't seem to agree with where we are, we don't know what to do with them. Or we say, I don't need to focus on that. And we all do it to a certain extent. For the citizen of the kingdom has been given everything, including the Word of God, for our benefit, for our good. We are people who say, you know what, since my Jesus has given me so much, my standard of righteousness, what is right and good and perfect and pleasing, it's not my standard, what I think is right and good and perfect and pleasing, it's what he says, even if I don't understand it, even if I don't know how it fits into my current situation. I bend the knee to Jesus because I believe he loves me more than anyone else. And he wants what's best for me more than anyone else. Do we really believe that? Do we really believe that? And then third, another way that we see how to seek first kingdom and seek his righteousness is really an attitude. We long to see everything. And I mean everything. We long to see everything in our lives conformed to God's kingdom and righteousness. We long for everything, including ourselves, to be conformed to God's kingdom, to God's standard, to God's righteousness. That's why when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we say, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We want this realm to be conformed to that one. And we long for that. We hunger and thirst for that. And we know that is the promise. That is the very promise of God, that he is going to do this. The God who says that he's working everything together for our good to those who are called according to his purpose, because he foreknew us and he predestined us to be conformed to the image of his Son. And when we're conformed to the image of the King, then we're living out the values of the kingdom. And not just us, but God even says in Revelation 21 that he is making all things new. And in 2 Peter 3, we see that according to God's promise, we are the type of people who are waiting and longing for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Now, two things I want to say at this point. First, I remember in high school having to read Ralph Waldo Emerson's Self-Reliance essay. Did anybody ever read that? I had to read that, and I remember walking away from that and thinking, yeah, exactly. Self-reliance and non-conformity. I don't want to conform to anybody else. I want to be my own man. I want to be my own person. And I don't want anybody else to tell me anything. I'm going to do it my way. In fact, what Ralph Waldo Emerson says in that essay is, "Whoso would be a man must be a man, nonconformist." In other words, if you want to be a man, now, ladies, I guess he leaves you out, but men, if you want to be a real man, you got to be a nonconformist. That's what he says. The Holy Spirit has been working in me over years to change that attitude, because now I do want to be conformed to something, or rather someone. I don't want to be conformed to the pattern of the world around me. I want to be conformed to Jesus. I want Jesus more than I want anything else. That is what seeking first the kingdom looks like. I want, and there are days, this is the second thing, there are days when there are days when I sit and ponder life, and I can't wait to see the return of Jesus. Because I think, as good as this life gets, and it does get good at times, it's still tainted. It still has its problems. It still has its struggles. And you know, as good as this church is, and this is a wonderful church, I love you guys, and it's great to be among you. But we have our issues that we have to work through. And I was talking to someone just this week and saying, you know, one day we're all going to be gathered together and there's not going to be any argument or frustration or issues among us because it's all going to be Jesus. And we're going to be conformed to Him. And we're just going to be showing love to Him, love to one another. And what a wonderful day that will be. And so there are days where I long, I can't wait for that. And my desire for you is that you would grow in that with me. Because there are other days where I don't long for it. And I want what I can get now. And I see that as sin. It's wrong. What I need to do is not think about my selfish agenda, but think about what would it be like if the kingdom really did come in all of its fullness. What kind of love we would show to one another? What kind of righteousness would come from our lives and holiness and goodness and perfections? But best of all, we would have Jesus. And we would be able to worship Him and praise Him in an unhindered way. Not thinking about, I wonder what time it is. Not wondering, I wonder if my roast is burning. Not worry about, I wonder what people think of me right now. Because I may be raising my hand or I'm wearing weird clothes or whatever. No, we're just thinking about loving our Savior and our King and loving one another. Won't that be great? And I say all that to say that that is where God is taking us. That's where we, as Presbyterians, like to talk about predestination. That's where He has predestined us to be. That's where you can bank on God's promises and say, I praise you, my God, that my King has died for me and risen from the dead so that I will be conformed to His image one day. Wow. So with the gospel of Christ as our foundation and the power of the Spirit at work within us, we can grow. We can. We can grow in our pursuit of God's kingdom and righteousness. You know, when I hear messages like this, I will admit that probably my first thought is, oh, here's another message telling me how I should do something. How I should be something. And it's hard because I'm already struggling enough as it is. And now you're telling me that when I wake up in the morning, it should be Jesus. And when I'm eating lunch, it should be Jesus. And when I'm going to bed at night, it should be Jesus. Everything is about Jesus and His kingdom. Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what the Christian life is about. And you might say, like me, it's overwhelming. I can't do it. Well, you're right in this sense. In and of yourself, you can't. It's God who does this in and through you. Because, and I want you to hear this, for probably the billionth time, I have quoted this verse, but we need to hear it more often. 2 Peter 1:3 says that God's divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness. All things. Everything you need for life and godliness, God in His divine power has granted it to us through our knowledge of Him who has called us to His own glory and excellence. Everything we need has been given to us in Christ. And so, if you want to grow in faith, it's been given to you in Jesus. Look at Him and believe that He will grow you there. You want to grow in obedience? Believe that He will grow you in obedience. I'm not going to say it's going to be easy. I'm not going to say it's going to look like what other people around you will look like. I'm not going to say it's going to be an easy path at all, like you're just picking roses and, you know, like throwing them up in the air and saying, "Woo, this is fun." It's not necessarily going to be that way. But God has promised. We can seek first His kingdom because He's given us everything we need to do it. So by the Spirit and with our eyes fixed on Jesus, let's seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness, knowing that our Father in heaven will provide, He will provide all that we truly need. Let's pray. Father, thank you that by your divine power you have given us everything we need for life and godliness, and forgive us for how we forget that so often. You have not just given us forgiveness of sins, even though that is amazing and we will never cease to praise you simply for that fact, but you have not simply given one thing, you have given us everything in Christ. And so by your Spirit, help us to fix our eyes on the one who died for us and rose from the dead so that we can see, even if we have to die in this life, that you will raise us and we will live with you forever in righteousness and holiness and goodness and love and peace and joy, abounding forever. Thank you that that is our destiny and nothing can take that away from us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.